We thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. We thank you that the sun is rising in the east, and Lord, it testifies of your faithfulness to us, Lord God. We just thank you and we praise you today, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come, for your Holy Spirit to move, for your Holy Spirit to just do what needs to be done in our lives today, Lord God. Father, we lay ourselves upon the altar, Lord God, and let you do the work that needs to be done, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, and we pray for your blessings to move in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And I'll tell you, so we're going to continue with our lesson, the headstone of the corner. I don't know if this is going to be the last lesson or second to the last lesson, but we'll just see how it goes. And I also wanted to make an announcement. We will not have class next Sunday. Next Sunday is 4th of July weekend. We will not have class, okay? So feel free to have a nice weekend. Come to church. But we will not have class on 4th of July weekend. And actually, I'll be speaking at another church next Sunday also. So I won't be here at Dr. Carl Wright's church. I'll be speaking at their church next Sunday morning as they're out of town. So, but the following Sunday, we will be back here in full force with our class. So anyway, so if someone's not here, just please pass that on. We will not have class next Sunday, July 3rd. So as we go into our lesson, the headstone of the corner, just finishing up. Last week, we were talking about praying this name. And as I said, that was a difficult lesson because we really had to talk about laying ourselves on the altar when it comes to praying this name, the headstone of the corner, because as we talked about from the very beginning, this whole lesson has to do with lining up with Christ's agenda over your agenda. And that's a hard thing to do because we all have agendas, okay? Come on now. We all have agendas. We all have our things and our plans and all the things that we would want to do. And often, when we come to know Christ, we find that he doesn't come in just adjusting you a bit when you come to Christ, man. Christ comes in with a bulldozer, okay? Yes. He's knocking down trees and houses and stuff that you were dealing with since childhood. He comes in trying to knock that stuff down. But again, you have to allow him to do that work. Because the promise he made to you and me is that the work he began in us, he will continue to perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. But you have got to allow him to do that work. You know, we can stand and we can be stubborn and we can decide that we're not going to move and we're going to hold on to our grudges and we're not going to forgive people and we're not going to let things go. And then Christ will just wait. He'll just wait till you're ready. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, some folks, until you're ready for him to move some of these things out, because he can't take you to the next level. He can't build the next layer on the foundation until you let him clear off the stuff that's there. So last week it was about praying, and it's not about praying for other people. It's about praying for you and getting some of that stuff off so you can build on that foundation. We also talked about building on the true foundation of Christ, not on what looks like a foundation of Christ. See, the rituals, the religious rituals can look like, you know, I'm not saying rituals are not good, because there are good habits that you can have as a Christian. I said, but if that's your foundation, just going through the motions, then you're missing the foundation. The foundation is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. That means prayer life. That means getting in the Word and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you about you. That's relationship, and that's the foundation, not religion, not going through all these motions. Sometimes that comes after. God will tell you, be faithful in something. And yes, it will look like, okay, every week I'm going to be doing this, because my relationship with Christ, in my relationship with Christ, he taught me to be faithful in coming to church, be faithful in my Bible study. So I will go through, I will do these things. But remember what the foundation has to be. It has to be Jesus Christ and your relationship with him. So today we're going to talk about hallowing or holding sacred the name, the headstone of the corner. And our key verse is Colossians 1:17 that says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So you never get to a point where you can build without Christ. He has and always will hold all things together. And it's important that you and I know what it means to hold all things together. We talked about this in previous lessons. We talked about that this is true in the science world, because we don't really know what's holding everything together scientifically, except God said so. When you look at the smallest particle that we are made of, called the atom, and the electrons and the protons just going around, all, I mean, what, you don't see anything holding those things together, but yet they hold together. And those particles that are just flying around in space come together to form molecules, and those come together to form our tissues and our bodies, and everything that you see, everything, is made out of these atoms. So when the scriptures come along, not come along, the scriptures said it first, for he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So you hold together only because he says so. These are the rules. All science does is describe what God has done. That's what science is. It's describing what God has done. We call it breakthroughs. Oh, we got a breakthrough. We can see the atom. Oh, we got a breakthrough. You're just describing what he knew from the beginning. He was before all things. We're just, oh, wow, look at that. But God set it in place from the very beginning. So when we look at hallowing or holding to this name, to hallow or hold sacred the name of Christ, the headstone of the corner, you must be like the Apostle Paul and Nehemiah, who held sacred this name in the face of ridicule and distraction. I can't emphasize distraction enough. Their faces were set like flint, and their eyes were fixed on Jesus as the author and the finisher of the building. Remember, we talked about completion here. It's a sad story when believers don't complete the work. We've seen it happen over and over again. Believers that start out good, but don't complete the work. But Jesus said in his word, he says, I am the author. I'm writing on your life. I'm writing the story of your life, and I will finish it. But the thing is, folks, you have to stay with him. You have to hold sacred to his name. If you do not really believe that the headstone of the corner is holding your things together, you may crumble under the pressure as you are looking for another source or another foundation, and all that God has planned for you may be lost. And folks, don't you know Satan will see to it? I can't, he's trying to get you to get off that foundation. He's egging you on, daring you to get out of that foundation. And his dares come in the form of appealing to your pride. You can do this on your own. You don't need to pray. You don't need to read the word. Come on, you got this. After all, you have a degree. After all, you have this. After all, you have all this money in the bank. After all, you have all these years of experience, so you don't have to pray. He's just kind of, come on off the foundation. You got this. And that's what he does to so many of us. Those of us here in the church, I'm not talking about, see, the unbelievers are not on the foundation in the first place. He's talking about you all, trying to get you off the foundation, and he appeals to our pride. So as we hold sacred, I love this segment of the lesson because it talks about holding in the midst of the ridicule, in the midst of the criticism, in the midst of it. And we're getting it today, folks, like never before. Christians are being persecuted in this country like never before. You feel it. I know you feel it. You're afraid to say certain things because you know, you know what's going to happen. So, but we have to hold sacred. We have to, never before in the history of this nation have we had to look at the headstone of the corner and line up with it than what is going on right now. As you hold to this name and hold up his banner to the people and give them hope to continue their work for him. And then Christ himself will gather his people. This building under his banner will be held to your account in heaven. Let me read that again. As you hold to this name, you hold up his banner, Christ's banner, to the people and give them hope to continue their work for him. And then Christ himself will gather his people. This building under his banner will be held to your account in heaven. How high did you hold the banner up it's going to be held to your account in heaven. Don't you know that? Because people needed to see the banner. I don't care what they're saying and how they treat you. People need to see the banner of Jesus Christ like never before. You ever seen a construction project going up? I mean, we see them all over town. You know, and what do? They put a sign up front. The future home of. And they'll tell you what's coming. That's what we're holding up. Jesus is coming. There is a new heaven and a new earth that's coming. It's coming. And that's what we were preparing for. A sign is placed. A banner is to announce to the community what is being built and often who is building it. So that's the banner that you're holding up. You know, the headstone is in place. The headstone, the cornerstone has been put in place. And now the sign is up. The building is going up. And again, we are the lively stones. We are the living stones of the building. So we represent something. We represent something important. We represent something significant. So let's look at some biblical prophecy on that concerning the banner of Christ. It says, and this is from Isaiah 11, in that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. Now, get this. I mean, you can just stop right there. Because David's throne, I mean, that's Israel. But he's saying that the heir to David's throne will be a banner to all the world. He was prophesying, of course, of Jesus Christ. This banner that is a banner to all the world that came out of Israel, that came out off of David's throne. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnant of his people. Now, here he's talking about Israel in particular. Those who remain in Assyria and northern Egypt, in southern Egypt, Ethiopia, Elam and Babylonia, Hamath and all the distal coastlands. How in the world, if this is not true, how in the world would Isaiah have been able to speak this word if it wasn't from God? He already saw the end. Amen. He already saw that the Jews would be scattered all over the world. Mm-hmm. That they would be scattered all over the place. The distal coastlands, that means off of the continent to another coastland. He will raise a flag, and get this, he, Christ, will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He will gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. What a powerful prophecy. It's talking about us, folks. It's talking about the banner that's gone up, the Christian flag. That's why I had to put this in here about the Christian flag. This is a promise of our Lord, the headstone of the corner, concerning the building of his kingdom. It will be built under the banner of salvation to all the world. It would go outside of the Jewish nation to all the world. And that's why I gave you this. When we were growing up, this is what we said every Sunday morning. And perhaps you all did too. But this was the pledge that we made. Those flags, this Christian flag is standing in our sanctuary right here at Praise Assembly. It's standing up there. Most churches I go in, they've got that Christian flag standing up there. And we got to understand what this means. This is a banner. This is our banner. And this is a pledge to the Christian flag. It says, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. That is the pledge of the Christian flag. We said it every single Sunday morning. And the more, and when I saw it, you know, the other day, you know, Google it. It'll come up on Google. You know, it just brought back those memories of that pledge. And today it means more to me now than it ever has. That I have to hold up this banner and that I pledge allegiance to Christ. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. And then we did the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible. And then it says, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and will hide it, its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. That's a beautiful pledge to live by. That you pledge allegiance. I pledge my allegiance to this. That we understand the banner in which we are living under right now. The Christian flag, and it does not have any national borders. It stretches all over the world. It stretches all over the world. People are pledging allegiance to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You understand? That's who we are. We got to understand who we are. Down in our spirit, who we are. So we hollow and we hold sacred this banner that Isaiah talked about, the banner of salvation to all the world. And as I looked at that flag, I said, that's the banner he talked about, that banner of Christ to all the world. This prophecy from the book of Isaiah spoke about the church of Jesus Christ that was to come, a church that would be built from people from all over the world, with Jesus Christ as the headstone of the corner. As Isaiah spoke of the exiles of Israel, I believe he was speaking of the lost tribes, or the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel, that were taken into slavery and disappeared from biblical texts when Israel was attacked by the Assyrians between 740 and 722 BC. This is recorded history, folks. That the northern tribes, and you know, we talked about this before, that there's some controversy whether these tribes were lost or not, whether they were assimilated, whatever happened to them. All we know is that they were not mentioned in biblical texts after a certain point. The descendants of these tribes still exist and may have been assimilated into Assyria or other nations and cultures. They are people who do not know who they are. Absolutely. That happens. When you're taken out from your culture and they forgot. They were worshiping other gods. And then they were taken, and they were taken into captivity, and they were taken into slavery. But these people, they still exist. Their blood still flows throughout the world. And again, you got to remember what the promise God made to Abraham, that your descendants would be more than the sands of the sea. You know? So the descendants may not even know who they are. I always consider the fact, okay, people always bring up, well, the Jews don't accept Jesus Christ. They don't accept Jesus Christ. I said, but what about those 10 tribes? Where are they? Are they serving Jesus Christ? Because they don't know of that heritage, that they're serving Jesus Christ right now. See, the promise made to Abraham, you know, God is going to deal with the Jewish nation however he wants to do with the Jewish nation. That's his business. You know, but what I see when I see what happened to those 10 tribes, Father? Are they scattered throughout the world? Because you said they would be. You said that his descendants would be as the sands of the sea. You see, God will keep his promise. Sometimes it's not the way we think. We thought there were going to be some big giant nation. But God is a God of the world. This is his world. This is his planet. And he scatters where he wants to scatter. But what holds true, as we see all of these things that happened in history, what holds true is that many billions of people come under this banner, Jesus Christ. And I believe many of them are the descendants of Abraham that may not even know it. But God knows it. And this is a quote from the book of Amos. Amos 9:8. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Amos 9:8, I just want to share. This scripture. It says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful northern kingdom." That's the kingdom we're talking about. "Of Israel's 10 tribes, and shall destroy it from the face of the earth. But I shall not totally destroy the house of Jacob, that is the entire nation of Israel, says the Lord." Now, again, we see that happen too. Because the current nation of Israel is made up of just the tribes that were left. There were two tribes, I believe the tribe of Benjamin and Judah. Judah and Benjamin and half of the tribe of Levi, because the priests were split and they went either way. So that they made up the tribe. Now it says he was going to destroy the northern kingdom from the face of the earth. Now it doesn't mean necessarily that he destroyed the people. The nation is gone. Remember, they became a nation. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom survived and the northern kingdom is gone. The nation is gone. It's just like if the United States was destroyed, if it was taken over. The United States is gone. The nation is gone, but the people may still be here. So again, Amos talks about this. In 2014, Rabbi Ralph Messer of Englewood, Colorado, spoke in Atlanta. And in his message, he taught that people whose name ended in EZ are probably of Hebrew origin. Gutierrez. Where's Mary? Chavez. Sanchez. How many S's? How many other S's we have?
Martinez.
Yes. What's that?
Martinez.
We may have some descendants of Abraham right here in the room. I'm serious. What's that?
Gomez.
He taught that these names are of Hebrew origin. People scattered throughout the earth. It's interesting, but you know, again, what God speaks, what his word speaks, folks, it's true. There is such truth in the word of God. And you see it today and you're like, you know, blinking. And then some people just, just blow it off. But truth is truth. These people do not necessarily claim to be Jews, but come from various nations and cultures. So again, we see again that there is a remnant, a little spark of light of the children of Abraham showing up here and there, serving God under the banner. As the prophet Isaiah said would happen. I want you to really get this because it's so important that you understand that the Bible is not some fairy tale. If you want to know what has happened, check the word of God. If you want to know what's going to happen, check the word of God. Many of you were so blessed by Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbingers, and then the sequel, The Secret of the Shemitah, The Secret of the Mystery of the Shemitah, and how this man was able to prophesy and the things that he said in that book that lined up with the word of God. It was just amazing. The things that are coming for this country, this United States, who made a covenant with God. This nation made a covenant with God. It was built on a foundation of God. I don't care what people are saying today. You cannot change what happened. You can't change history. People want to rewrite it, but no. God was with us. When they formed the Constitution and the Declaration of the Independence, when they fought the American, there was, you know, we should not have won the American Revolution. We should have lost that war. Do you understand? Great Britain had a more experience. They had more people. They had more soldiers. They had more experience. They had more military experience. They had more weapons. They had more of everything. We should have lost that war. But what comes to mind is George Washington, that picture of George Washington on one knee praying. That picture is all over the place. You see that picture of George Washington praying. Praying with his raggedy army. Freezing. They were freezing at Valley Forge. They were freezing. Because they didn't have proper clothes. They didn't have proper food. We should have lost that war. It was only the hand of Almighty God that help this nation to become a nation. Because the forefathers prayed and the forefathers built it on godly principles. We are one nation under God. And as long as we stay under God, we will be indivisible. But if we get from under God, look out. We signed a covenant with God, just like Abraham. That's what Jonathan Cahn was trying to bring out. You signed a covenant. It's not just about his protection. We want his protection and we want his blessing. But we don't want to follow his will and his way. Now that we think we've gotten all big and all that, and we're all powerful and we're all this. Folks, look out. It was the pride of Israel that brought it down. Her arrogance. It's always our pride. It always is. From Eve in the Adam and Eve in the garden to us today. It's arrogance and pride. I don't need God. Look out. Look out, folks. We have to hallow, we have to hold sacred his name more than ever. We have to stay under this banner more than ever. Because this nation can come down. I don't want it to. But you see what's happening already. This infiltration by ISIS. Yes. All the stuff that's happening. Indivisible. Oh, well, it's starting to be broken up into pieces. They're recruiting our youth. So we have to be careful that we stay under the banner, which is Jesus Christ. It is important as we read the Word of God, this is the next point, to see the truth of the Word revealed in our modern world, to see the prophecies being fulfilled, that have been fulfilled and that will be fulfilled. I tell people all the time, you cannot pray away the book of Revelation. I don't want to pray away the book of Revelation, frankly, because this mess at some point has got to end. And God knows that. That's why he had John and Daniel see this stuff way back when. He said, because at some point, this has got to end. The heartache, the bloodshed, the killing of innocents. All of the things. The sin, the sin, the sin, the sin, the sin. At some point, it's got to end. So when we pray God's word. We pray his word. Now understand, our heart is like Christ. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day's going to come where this is going to have to wrap up because he said so. That's why the scripture says no man knows the day or the hour, just the Father. Only the Father can call this one. Right. Only the Father can call game over. People have talked about it. People have thought this was the date and that was the date, but only the Father knows the day. Amen. But I'll tell you, get into your word. Get to know your word. Read those old prophets. They had something to say. I was surprised at what Amos had to say. Mm-hmm. And just like any other prophet before him, he was persecuted, but he spoke what he needed to speak. The next point says, come to him, the risen Lord, as to a living stone, which men rejected and threw away, but which is choice and precious in the sight of God. You believers, like living stones, are built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Why is this scripture important? It's important because it's telling you what you should be about right now.
If you are going to be a living stone that's lining up with the headstone of the corner in building the temple of God, this is your description. This is your job description right here. Being built up into a spiritual house for holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Sacrifices every day, folks. Sacrifice comes every day. You can sacrifice just holding your tongue is a sacrifice. Yes, you could say it. Yes, you can cut them up, but sacrifice, okay? Be that. Joanne's dodging. Oh. Sacrifice. We think the sacrifice is, oh, I'm going to give this, I'm going to give that, I'm going to give some big thing. No, sacrifice is sometimes just keeping your mouth shut in the name of Jesus. I'm going to sacrifice, Lord. I'm going to lay down my tongue to you and not answer that. And I don't mean don't answer it under your breath either. As you walk away. Sacrifice lost right there. Don't roll your eyes. Don't wag your head. Don't get that stance. I'm telling you, sacrifice. It's the little foxes. It's the distractions. A little distracting. Because you say, you're telling everybody that you're under his banner. How are you holding it sacred every day when your whole body language shows an attitude? See, when I'm holding that banner sacred, I'm always thinking. I was telling somebody the other day, I was saying, you know, I know we embarrass Jesus. I know we do. We embarrass him. I'm like, and he's like, okay. Let's try this again. And I just love him because he'll love you. Okay, child. Come on, let's try this again. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the scripture and read how you should have behaved today. Okay, and let's try it again tomorrow. And I love him. But if you can think about the banner that you represent, it's like you've got on this uniform. I just want you to picture yourself wrapped in that flag. Under that banner. And this is what I represent. And can you imagine yourself wrapped in that banner and you rolling your eyes and bobbing your head? See, these are the little things that people see. These are the things that unbelievers see in you. But when you take it, see, this is how Satan cannot win. When you take it, he set it up for you to fall into a trap. He set that person up to say something to you that's going to push your button, for something to happen that's going to make you upset. But what would it be if you showed Christ? Oh, wow. And it backfires on Satan. And that person looks at you and says, you know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it that way. Boy, you know, you're really something. I just wish I could be more like you. You know, a segue where you can tell them about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the banner in which you live under. This is my faith. This is what I believe. And folks, this day and age, we've got to be more bold. I told somebody the other day, I said, this is my faith. This is what I believe. You know, because they made a comment. They made a comment about something Christian. You know, and they made this comment. And I'm like, well, what was that? What does that mean? Oh, I didn't. I'm like, well, you know, that's my faith. That's what I believe. You know, I love Jesus. That's my Lord. That you're psh to. I said, and that's when I said, I know we embarrass him sometimes, but he's still my Lord. And you know, there was a okay, got it. You know, you really love him. Yes, I love him. And, you know, until the First Amendment has been repealed, folks, you know, you can tell people, yes. This is my faith. This is what I believe.
And it's amazing, it's the First Amendment. The first reason why people came here. Freedom of religion, freedom of faith. That's why they came here. That's why they fought so hard. The First Amendment is still in place, folks. So I'm telling you, as believers, exercise your First Amendment right. No, don't be abusive. Now, as I said, we have embarrassed Jesus. We've embarrassed him because we have been abusive sometimes. We have not loved. We see people doing stuff and we get judgmental. We can even be harsh. We can beat people with a Bible. And Jesus never did any of that stuff. Only time he got violent was when they were desecrating the house of God, his Father's house. But when he was amongst the people, he taught them. He always taught them, always taught them, always in teaching mode, always in teaching mode. Even when he was ridiculed in public, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and tried to ridicule him in public, he was always teaching. They say something to him, and what did he do? He went off into a story. He told them a parable. So he could teach the people. That's what we have to be about, folks. That's got to be the banner under which we live. So this is our description, our job description, that we are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Yes, you do need the Holy Spirit to do this, folks. But the Holy Spirit needs you to make a decision to flow in him. So the next point, to hallow and to hold his name. As the headstone of the corner, you must concede to hold him as men and women reject him. They will doubt and disbelieve him, but you are a believer, the living stone of a spiritual house dedicated to his worship. Your life should worship him. Your life should worship him. Boy, folks, don't you know that? That's 24/7. Your life should worship him. The way you talk to people should be worship. The way you treat people should be worship. And worship is not being a doormat, folks. Worship is being like Jesus. As I said, there was a time when he took the whip and dealt with what was his Father's house. There was a time when he was firm. There was a time when he spoke up. Even those closest to him, he had to turn around and speak the truth to him. When the woman came to him, when he was sitting and eating, and the woman came to him and started weeping at his feet and washing his feet with her hair. And the disciples said, well, what, do you know what kind of woman this is? I mean, you can hear the attitude in it. And Jesus dealt with them. Dealing with the owner of the house. Look, I came in here and you didn't even wash my feet. But she's come in and she has not ceased to wash my feet. She's anointed it with perfume. She's done all this stuff and you didn't do any of this. Speaking the truth in love even to folks that are closest to you. That's Jesus. See, I'm telling you, when you start to do this, oh, there's some bulldozing going to go on. And they're going to need it. And they may get mad at you for a time, but I'm telling you something about truth. Especially truth in Christ. People will come back when you have spoken truth to them because they will go out there and get a taste of that world and they will find that the world will lie and lie and lie and lie and use them and lie and use them and lie. I have had it happen. They come back. You told me the truth. I didn't want to hear it at the time, but you told me the truth. And you speak the truth in love. But you do speak the truth. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. That's the banner in which we're under. So if you turn in your Bibles to Philippians 2, I'm beginning at the 14th and the 15th verse. This is the Amplified. And it says, do everything without murmuring. Uh-oh. We're messed up right there. Do everything without murmuring or questioning.
the providence of God, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish in the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation, among whom you are seen as bright lights, beacons shining out clearly in the world of darkness. Wow.
That's Philippians 2, what?
That's Philippians 2, 14, 15 in the Amplified. Wow, this is just a tag on to your job description, okay? Boy, and that's a hard one, without murmuring or complaining, because, I mean, it happens so quickly. It just rolls off our tongue so quickly. So quickly. My goodness. We just complain. We were raised in a pool of complaints. We're talking about Babylon. Yeah. Complain. You were raised that way. Folks, I mean, it's true. You heard it all your life. I mean, to be with a group of any type of people, there has to be a group that's complaining. Co-workers complaining. Children complaining. Everybody complaining. Complaining, complaining. As I've said before, you can't even go to the store. The cashier's complaining. You know, you're just trying to check out with your little groceries, you know? Trying to stay safe. And the cashier's complaining about the heat. Or the wind, or the cold,
the rain.
It's planet Earth. Thank you, Jesus, that we get a change of seasons. Thank you, God, for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the wind that spreads the seeds. I mean, I'm telling you, the enemy has jacked up our minds. I'm telling you, we are jacked up in our heads. We really are. Because we can't even see the good in the world anymore. We can't even see it. Somebody cut you off. I can't believe you cut me off. Instead of thanking Jesus I didn't get in an accident. Thank you, Father. I pray for that person. I pray, Lord, that they would drive more safely. Lord, if they don't know you, I pray that they come to know you. You know, sometimes I honestly believe God puts these people in your way so you will pray for them. Because nobody's praying for them. Nobody likes them. Nobody's praying for them. Hong, hong. But sometimes Jesus is like, okay, if I can just get one of my children to pray for this person, okay, they're going to just cut right in front. Oh, they're going to cut right in front of. Okay. I'm just looking at you, Cheryl. They're going to cut right in front of Cheryl. And boy, wouldn't it be something? Cheryl just prays for them. Lord, thank you for not letting me get in an accident, Father. And I pray for that person, Lord. I lift them up to you right now, Jesus. I don't know who's praying for them, but Lord, know today, Lord, I'm praying for them. And I'm lifting them up to you, Father, that you would move in that life. Because that type of driving speaks something. It speaks something. That person is probably angry. Or they're in a hurry. Always in a hurry. Isn't that the way? Something. They may have just had a fight with a family member and stormed out of the house and going to do God knows what. But what if you prayed? See, I'm telling you, you shine as lights. You don't join the darkness. Honk, honk. I'm going to get right in front of them myself. We're all in trouble, me included. I'm working on me too, guys. See, if y'all see Karen in the big red van, cut somebody off. Y'all just pray for me, okay?
Or yell out the window.
Y'all pray for me, okay? If y'all see me do that, okay? Y'all pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, I'm telling you, it happens. But guys, I'm just really, just these things that were, you got to be, you know, Lord has taught me, and he tells me all the time, pay attention. Pay attention and then be grounded in my word so you don't slip into what you used to be. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God means that. You should be thinking differently about every single situation you're dealing with. Somebody get in front of you. This happens. That happens. Remember the banner you're wearing. Please don't embarrass Jesus. Please don't. You know, help the poor little mama with all the four little kids running around her in the grocery store. Don't be rolling your eyes at her like she should have more control of her kids. We do. My goodness, can she get more control of those children? Help her. Be patient with her. You know, I tell you, after what I've been through with Matthew, I give all mamas a pass. When I see mamas in the grocery, I give them a pass, honey. You can do whatever you want because I understand. I get it, okay? But yeah, again, folks, I mean, in all seriousness, we have to pay attention. You are counted every day as sheep to be slaughtered. That is a true statement. The enemy is setting traps for you every day. And it's not the big thing you're thinking of. It's that little thing. It's that comment that's going to come. It's that meeting that you weren't expecting. And things you weren't expect to happen. It's that bill that's coming in that you didn't expect. And it's just things. The neighbor. The neighbor's dog coming onto your lawn. And taking a dump. It's just a chance to meet. You know, this happened to me yesterday. I'm out in my yard, you know, Saturday's sort of my day where I can just kind of be in my yard, getting my yard therapy, I call it. And I'm out there just minding my own business, and here comes this dog from across the street. And we had a lab. It was a lab. I could tell by the look on this dog's face that it was a playful dog. And I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, where is the owner of this? And I saw the family standing out there on the lawn across the street, and the Holy Spirit said, smile and wave. And I did. And the lady came on across the street, and she was trying to catch, and this dog was just playing. And you know, and she kept trying to catch the dog and trying to catch the dog, and the dog just kept dodging her. And I tried to catch the dog, and the dog just kept dodging. And I just felt the Holy Spirit said, "Won't you introduce yourself?" See, the dog may be listening to God. The dog may be saying, "I'm trying to get y'all to meet each other, y'all neighbors. You know, Karen, you know Jesus." And I don't think this lady knew Jesus because she had a few choice words about the dog. And I just introduced myself. Hey, I'm Karen. And she told me who her name was. And I said, no, it's your dog. She told me your dog name. Okay, let's catch it. So we just started to, and we finally catch this 7-month-old chocolate lab that can move like the wind. Finally caught him. And, you know, we got to meet. And I said, Lord, I don't know what this was the beginning, but I saw that. I said, God, why won't this dog come to its owner? I mean, I can understand the dog dodging me, but why isn't he? And the Lord's like, pay attention. Introduce yourself. Get to know this lady, your neighbor, across the street. God sometimes set it up like that. You think it's one thing and it's... Pay attention to how he is trying to minister through you, his child. So we shine as lights, as beacons in the darkness. A building is erected for purpose and for protection. Boy, we can stop right there. For purpose. Your ministry. What is the purpose of your ministry? For that matter, what's the purpose of your entire life? What is the purpose? And it protects you. Because if you stay in Christ, you stand on that banner, you're going to be protected. God will look out for you. You know, and the wonderful thing about God's protection, even if you transition out of this life, he's looking out for you. And folks, I'm telling you, when you transition out of this life,
You're going to want somebody looking out for you, and you want that somebody to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Because nobody else can look out for you when you transition out of this life like he can. So it's for purpose. It's for protection. So it is for the spiritual house Christ is building in your life. Its purpose is to offer sacrifices to God. The choices you will make as you live your life are your sacrifices to God. Some are small and some are great. There are great sacrifices to make. I admire people that pack up and go to the mission field. You know, they go live over there for years at a time. Sometimes it's a great sacrifice. Changing where you're living. It doesn't even have to be foreign. Boy, just changing what you're doing, changing your life, changing your job, changing, you know, moving to another part of the country, doing all these things. Sometimes it is a great thing that God will call you to do, but you can trust him. It has purpose. These sacrifices make your spiritual house strong so that you are protected when the storms of life come. Okay, you want your house to be strong. You can't be building the house when the storm hits, folks. See, so what you're going through now, day by day by day, this strengthens your house. So that you are protected when the storm comes. When that major thing comes in your life, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to hold sacred the headstone of the corner. You'll be able to line up when the major thing comes. When that major life stress comes. And it comes, folks. Nobody escapes death. Death of family, death of so many things that can happen. Tragedies in this world, in this life. When the major stuff comes, you're able to stand. And so he gets us ready. He gets us ready. I love God that he does not want weak people. I love that. And I ask him, like, why do we have to be strong anyways? I mean, you're all powerful, so why do we have to be strong? He's preparing us for something. And I think it's something amazing. He wants strong people. He wants capable people. He wants loyal people. The mortar of our building is obedience. Let me say that again. You know, the mortar between the bricks is obedience. Brick upon brick, but it's obedience. See, if I'm sitting there and I got my one layer down, and God is trying to put another layer on my life, but I won't be obedient. Because see, you can't put just a brick on a brick. If you put a brick on a brick, you have to just knock off. First wind, somebody can just come and push it right down. Obedience is what holds the next brick on your life in place. Sometimes the reason why our foundation isn't any bigger is because we will not obey the last thing he told us to do. We won't do it. So we sit here, our building unfinished. Remember, this was about completion. From the very beginning, we talked about completion, completion, completion. How's your obedience level? How's your obedience level? So it's the mortar. In fact, you need to write that the mortar of our building is obedience. Heard the old preacher say, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. And we got to get there because we got a lot of stuff between our soul and our Savior.